John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to dig into your word, and we thank you for the truth of your word, and let us glean from it, let us learn from it, let it penetrate our hearts, and be with Pastor Craig as he delivers your message, Lord. Let it give you all the glory and praise. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Nick. Now, if you will turn to the book of Acts. We departed from our series last week and took a look at giving thanks to God, but this morning we're going to continue with our series here through Acts. Acts chapter 19 is where we are this morning. Acts chapter 19. And this morning, as we continue looking at the Acts of Paul and really his team during his third missionary journey, we ended last time we were here seeing the great changes that were taking place in the hearts of men at Ephesus. Namely, men who had trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation and even began forsaking their old ways, the practices of their past. And we read about them burning these books in Ephesus. But we pick up our passage this morning reading this. Let's look at verses 21 through 23 quickly. It says, "When these things were accomplished," meaning everything that we looked at just prior to this, "Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, 'After I have been there, I must also see Rome.' So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way." Here again, we find Paul making some plans for the future, delegating some ministries into Macedonia, and while he himself finishes what God had called him to do in Asia, specifically the city of Ephesus. And it was about this time, it says, that there arose a great commotion about the way. And verse 23, we find that term again, the way. We saw it several weeks ago. The way, of course, is one of the titles that was given to the church, and it's in reference to the message that they preached, being the way of salvation, the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ alone. And in Ephesus, it says, again, there arose a great commotion about that. A riot, a mob is what it was. The Brixton Riot of England in the spring of 1981 was considered one of the worst riots of the past 500 years. In fact, it was dubbed Bloody Saturday by Time magazine. It resulted in almost 280 injuries to police, 45 injuries to members of the public. Over 100 vehicles were burned, 56 of them being police vehicles. 150 buildings were damaged, 30 of them burned to the ground. There were 82 arrests, and reports suggest that up to 5,000 people were involved in that rioting. What started that commotion? Well, police responded to and spotted a young man who had been reported to have been stabbed. And they spotted him running from the incident. So wanting to get him to the hospital, they chased him down and wanted to help him out. But because of a lot of racial tensions that were in that city, onlookers misinterpreted what the police were doing, and they got angry. In fact, rumors began to circulate The police finally did subdue the man. They brought him to the hospital. He lived, but rumors circulated that he had died and that it was a result of what the police did. And within hours, the entire city was in chaos. Angry crowds began to form. Police were dispatched. And all of this happened, really, because these police did the right thing. They did the right thing, and it resulted in chaos because they acted with the right priorities. Well, in a similar fashion, that is what we're going to find in our account this morning. Those of the way were simply acting with proper priorities, and it caused a riot. What were those proper priorities? Well, this morning we're going to find out why the way caused a commotion in Ephesus. And our subject is, why all the commotion? From Acts chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 23 through 41. And let's go ahead and jump in and read 23 through 26. It says, "And about that time there arose a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, 'Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods, which are made with hands.'" This commotion was first of all motivated because the way put eternity before economy. It put eternity before economy. Now, as we think about that statement, really, it's an easy one to agree with, isn't it? Of course, eternity should come before economy. We should always put eternal things before worldly things. That's really a no-brainer for the believer. In fact, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter that the illegal drug industry generates over $400 billion a year. It doesn't matter that that's a huge part of our economy because it enables the depravity of man. So it's a no-brainer. Eternity comes first. Eternity comes first. However, what if we here at River Valley Bible Church became so great at sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching his word that people started coming from all over to River Valley? In fact, we had to get a bigger building because people were coming here from California, from Idaho, from Utah, from Arizona, all to hear what you and I were teaching from the word of God. And as a result of that, people, by the hundreds, by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, were turning to Christ and changing the way they live, giving up their evil practices. And the Nevada gaming industry took a nosedive. What if? Now, I'm not against entertainment, but there is no doubt that the gaming industry is encapsulated in things that enable the depravity of man. Put eternity before economy. My goal is not to destroy Nevada's economy. My goal is to put eternity first, and God will take care of everything else. He'll take care of everything else. There are countless things that Mesquite could be known for and those buildings used for. In fact, if we did what I suggest we do here, I think the Casablanca would make a wonderful church. and teaching center. Look at all those classrooms, right? Jesus in Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." This commotion in Ephesus was motivated because the way put eternity before economy. Idol manufacturing was a staple in Ephesus. And here was this man, Demetrius, who was in the business of making silver statues in the image of Diana. Your Bible might read Artemis. Romans called him Diana. Greeks called her Diana. The Greeks called her Artemis. But she was the goddess of the moon, nature, and fertility. And she was so widely worshipped that it says these craftsmen made no small profit, no small business from their statues. You know what no small business is, right? It's a big business, right? It was big. It was a staple of the economy. So Demetrius called these men together and he said this. Let's read verse 26 again. He says, "Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands." Christianity hurt the idol industry. The evidence was plainly seen right there in Ephesus, and they'd heard about it happening all over Asia. Through Paul's teaching in Ephesus, probably at the school of Tyrannus, you remember that from a couple weeks ago, probably at that school, he preached that there is only one true and living God. And it is he's the only one that is worthy of worship. And as these people turn to Jesus Christ as the way to eternal life, Diana sales dropped off. But the kingdom was being populated. The kingdom was being populated. And eternity will last a lot longer than this life. The way put eternity before economy. In Mark 8:36, Jesus says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" This commotion arose because the way, again, put eternity before economy. Secondly, because the way put truth before tradition. There are world religions, philosophies, and theories that exist in the world today that have millions of followers. But these philosophies, these world religions, these theories, many of them have been spiritually, scientifically, or even historically debunked. They have been proven to be based in fiction and falsehood. Yet many of their followers, being well aware of the evidence, continue as if it's no big deal. In fact, some even say that it takes greater faith to believe in something that has been proved wrong than it does the facts. Well, I don't call that faith. I call it a fantasy. That's a fantasy. They are obviously putting tradition before the truth, before the facts. There was a commotion because the truth proclaimed by Paul will disrepute the false. The truth of God's word will disrepute the false. Listen to verse 27. It says, "So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." Three things were in danger because of the truth. First of all, their trade was in danger of disrepute. We've already seen this. As people have turned from the false goddess Diana, silver statue sales have dropped. And not only that, those in the business of crafting them could now very easily be seen as dishonest businessmen who were exploiting these people. So their trade was in danger. their temple was in danger of disrepute. Ephesus was the guardian city of the great temple of Diana. People came from all over the known world to come to this temple. And now, having the reputation of being a temple of a false goddess, they feared people are going to stop coming. So tourism is going to crash too. They might hate the temple. And perhaps worst of all in their eyes is Diana's triumph was in danger of disrepute. Diana's name had become so great, again, that there were people from all over the known world who worshipped her. And these were thinking, if we don't put a stop to Paul, if we don't put a stop to this movement, the way, Diana's name might become completely destroyed. And while I am not condoning this mob, I'm not condoning this riot, I think it would be difficult. It would be difficult if everything that I've ever believed, everything that I'd ever put my faith in, was just proved to be a lie. It would be difficult. Okay? And really, there are two possible reactions then. I could either examine the evidence and accept it, or I could reject the evidence and deny it. These in our passage chose to deny it. The truth proclaimed will disrepute the false, but also the truth denied will generate pride and envy. Listen to verse 28. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.'" What was it that they heard? Well, they heard that because of Jesus Christ, our economy, our temple, our goddess, our city may be debunked. They were filled with pride and envy, and pride and envy then led to anger. Upon hearing this citywide forecast from Demetrius, they became furious and filled with rage. Pride and envy led to affirmation. They began chanting at the top of their lungs, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" As if repeating the words and shouting them as loud as they could would make her more real. That's a positive affirmation. I have to tell you, I went through a phase in my life many years ago where I bought into positive affirmations. Every day, I would get up in the morning, I would look at myself in the mirror, and you are so good looking. You are so personable. You are so successful. And I did this day after day for months, and I finally gave up. I gave up because I was lying to myself, because the only one that came true was the good looking one. I was lying to myself. But why did I do this? I did this because I wanted what others had. Envy, okay? It was prideful. Pride and envy led to that affirmation. And then pride and envy led to confusion. Listen to verse 29. It says, "So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's traveling companions." What started as a meeting between business people now went citywide, as these craftsmen began chanting the greatness of Diana. It caught the attention of many. Why were they confused? Well, I think in part they were confused. The main core was confused because, all right, we're chanting this, but are we upset because it's hurting our economy, or are we upset because it's hurting our goddess? And as they're chanting this, it attracted the tension. I think the main reason for the confusion is this chanting gathered this huge crowd, and they all started joining in. "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And they're all standing there chanting there, but not knowing why. Yeah, she's great, but why are we here again? Why are we mad? And it was a confused mentality. It was a riot mentality, a mob mentality. It's the same mentality that causes innocent people to be beaten because Rodney King was convicted. There's a piece of history for you. It's the same mentality that causes people to overturn cars and burn buildings because their team won the soccer match. It's a mob mentality. It's the same mentality that causes a victim of Hurricane Katrina who has lost everything to say to himself, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I think I'll go steal a TV. It's a mob mentality. It's a riot mentality. And it caused confusion. Pride and envy also led to revenge. Let's just find a symbol or a representative of what we believe has caused this trouble, and we'll punish him. This mob grabbed the first symbols of Christianity they could find. Two of Paul's companions, Gaius and Aristarchus, they dragged him to this amphitheater in Ephesus. It's estimated that there could have been as many as 25,000 people involved in this riot, because that is what that amphitheater would hold. But pride and envy led to revenge. In fact, James in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And that's exactly what we're finding here in Ephesus. And all of this was because the way put truth before tradition. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Nick read this earlier. Jesus said, but the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. In fact, the conversation that Jesus is having at that point in time is with the woman at the well, and she asked him about worshiping at the temple. And he's basically telling her here, no, that's all going to be nullified from now on. In fact, the time now is, Jesus says, that the Father desires worship from the Spirit and in truth. This commotion was motivated because the way put eternity before economy, put truth before tradition, and it continued thirdly because the way put people before pride. Paul cared first about the people. Listen to verses 30 and 31. It says, and when Paul wanted to go in to the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Why did Paul want to go in the theater? Well, I think for two reasons. First of all, his companions were in there and they were in danger. Okay, he was probably most definitely worried for his companions. But I can't help but think that as Paul saw possibly 25,000 people run into a theater, he thought, what an audience. What an opportunity to share the gospel. And he cared about the people, all of them. He cared about their eternity. And by the way, the disciples cared about Paul too. They didn't want him to go in. Neither did some of these other leaders. But Paul cared first about the people. The people, however, cared only about themselves. Verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. Once again, a good example of mob mentality. All I know is I want this and you want that, but why are we here again? The Jews cared only about the Jews. Verse 33, And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. The crowd was so confused that as they put this guy forward and he motioned with his hands, they thought, well, maybe he's going to tell us why we're here. But it appears, and you'll see this a little more in the next verse, it appears that the only reason the Jews put him forward was to let the crowd know, we don't like these disciples either. We don't like the way either. All right? And the crowd only cared about their pride, verse 34. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians. The Jews' plan backfired. It turned out the worshipers of Diana didn't like the Jews either. And it caused them once again to shout over and over again in confusion, great is Diana of the Ephesians. All they cared about was the pride of their great goddess and their great city. The way, however, put people before that pride. In fact, listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20. This is how we should care for people. Now all things are of God, he says, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It says, now there we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The way put people before pride. This commotion came lastly because the way put principle before politics. And when I'm talking about politics, I'm talking about politicians, those who want to be pleasers of men. Listen to verses 35 and 36. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. Here we find a city clerk, and we're going to learn really that he's a politician. But his only objective was to appease the crowd. We're going to learn that it was for selfish motives. But all he wanted to do was be liked by the crowd. He was being a politician, okay? When former President Ronald Reagan was governor of California, he made a speech once in Mexico City, and he said that after he finished speaking and he sat down, it was a really, really pitiful round of applause that he got, and he was a little bit embarrassed. However, the speaker that followed him spoke very great Spanish, which Ronald Reagan did not speak. But he was being applauded after every single paragraph, it seemed. So to hide his embarrassment, he said, I wanted the people to like me. I started clapping before everyone else and longer than everyone else. That is until the ambassador leaned over to me and said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. He's translating what you said. Paul would not have been a politician. Okay, he was not a people pleaser. That was the reason for this commotion in the first place. He wasn't a people pleaser. He boldly proclaimed Christ. He didn't compromise the truth of the gospel because people are important. They're important. So if it meant a crashed economy, if it meant disreputing tradition, if it meant wounding the pride of a people, it was worth it because eternity is a long time. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. He said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And he goes on, he says, if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. From our passage, the clerk appeased the citizens. Now, in fact, if you take a glance at verse 35, we're going to get a little history here. My Bible reads Zeus. Yours might read heaven or Jupiter there in that. But all of these words are oftentimes used in the Greek language for heaven or heavenly things. But the reason he says it fell down from heaven or fell down from Zeus, it's believed, a lot of theologians believe that possibly a meteor actually fell down from the sky in the vicinity of Ephesus. And it just happened to be in the image, I guess, of a woman. And as a result of that, they started crafting these sculptures, this terracotta and silver statues to sell that were made in her image. So the city clerk here, he appeased the citizens by voicing to them a popular consensus. He basically said, good people of Ephesus, everybody knows that our city is the home of our goddess Diana, who fell down to us from heaven. And basically he's appealing to them on this popular consensus, saying, if everybody knows that and everybody believes that, certainly it's got to be true. You can't argue that. Everybody's doing it. Well, the clerk appeased the crowd with a popular consensus, and then he acquitted the accused. Verse 37. He says, for you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. And again, he's just trying to appease the crowd. We find a little bit of truth spoken here, but for a personal motive. We're going to see the motive in a minute, but the truth of the matter is the way was not defaming the temple. They weren't robbing it. They weren't hurting it. They were simply preaching the truth. And as a result, many were coming to Christ. And then the clerk appealed to the accusers, verses 38 through 41. And here we find his real motive. He says, therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar, and there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. Here we find the real motive. He was worried about himself. Ephesus was part of the Roman Empire, but it was one of the privileged cities within the empire that had its own internal governing body with elected officials. And this clerk was worried about two things. Number one, if Rome got wind of this uproar, of this riot, it would be him, the clerk, that was responsible. But also, if this riot got out of hand and he could not appease the people, he might not be reelected. So he put all of these things together and told them, all right, I will hear you on this if you want to bring charges, but for now, we need to be dispersed. And being a politician, the politician that he was, he wanted to make everyone happy. The way, however, put principle before politics. It put principle, the truth, before being a politician or a man pleaser. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. For what will a profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? There was a huge commotion in Ephesus. over the economy, over tradition, over pride, over politics. This could well have been the largest riot in the history of the world over what seemed at the time to be the hugest issues in the history of the world. All of these things seemed so important at the time. However, today, the city of Ephesus is a city of ruins. It's gone. The worldwide worship of Diana is gone. The temple is gone. The silversmiths, their business, it's gone. The politician and the Roman Empire are gone. But the message that caused this commotion is still alive and well. The way put eternity before economy. It put truth before tradition, people before pride, and principle before politics. And if these things cause a commotion. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, once again, we just thank you for this account and just the principles that you were able to teach us through it. Really, not even through the Acts of Paul, but the responses to the calling that you have given Paul, the calling that you have given each of us. And Lord, I pray that the priorities that Paul and these disciples, the priorities that the way made then, are the same priorities that we would make now. And Lord, if it causes a commotion, Lord, I pray that it would cause a commotion. And Lord, I pray that you would use it to your glory, just as you use this. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.